So, Lord Jesus, pray after me. Lord Jesus, open my ears, open my eyes, and give my heart perception to understand what your Spirit is speaking to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many picked up on the word that Moses is going to break the calf of the golden calf? Anybody know what that is? What does the golden calf represent? Idolatry. So, I believe that that's speaking for the idolatry that's going on in Israel. And Moses is about to do something. Okay? I also want to remind you that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And they're on the job, even if we don't comprehend or see them. But the fruits will be visible in due season. Okay? I am taking you on a journey to Romans chapter 11 in the Amplified. I would like to make sure that you understand something that might be helpful. A lot of times we look at the olive tree, and some people teach that the olive tree is really something other than what God wants us to see. There's a wild olive tree that will be spoken of in this chapter. The wild olive tree is not Israel. The wild olive tree is Adam. Yeah. He didn't want to obey the law. He wanted to partake. So he was lawless. That's lawlessness. And the wild olive tree are synonyms. They represent the same thing. When we look at the olive tree, and at verse 16 says, "Now if the first handful of dough offered as the first fruit, Abraham and the patriarchs, is consecrated holy, so is the whole mass, the nation of Israel. And if the root, Abraham, is consecrated holy, so are the branches." You'll find that in Numbers 15, verses 19 through 21. "But if some of the branches were broken off, while you, a wild olive root, were grafted in among them to share the richness of the root and the sap of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches and pride yourself at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember, it is not you that supports the root, but the root that supports you. You will say then, branches were broken or pruned off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. But they were broken and pruned off because of their unbelief." So that should be a warning to us. When unbelief is ruling in our hearts, what are we doing? We have an opportunity for getting pruned and plucked. And we need to choose to believe. Amen? Their lack of real faith, and you are established through faith because you do believe. So do not become proud and conceited, but rather stand in awe and be reverently afraid, or in awesome respect of our God. For if God did not spare the natural branches, because of unbelief, neither will he spare you if you are guilty of the same offense. So we need to what? We need to caution what we speak and how we respond. Amen? Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and severity of God. Severity towards those who have got, who, the severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's gracious kindness to you. That is to you, provided you continue in his grace and abide in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off and pruned away. You say, are you trying to create fear? No, I'm trying to create respect. I'm not giving you a spirit of fear. I'm trying to give you an awakening that God wants to warn us not to be and do like, oh, the house of prayer is the best church in the whole state. Phooey. That's pride. It's not God. If you duplicate what the Israelites did, we have it all. Where are you coming from? Pride. James 4 says, God is against the proud. Verse 23. And even those others, the fallen branches, the Jews, if they do not persist in clinging to their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. Why am I here? Why am I pushing this into you? Because I'm trying to tell you that one of the reasons why the house of prayer celebrates the feasts is because we have grabbed on to what they have to incorporate in your Christianity the foundations that are quality and of great value to Jesus. If Jesus celebrated every one of the feasts, why would he do that? Because they were important to him, and they were important as an example to us, the church. We canceled off all of the Jewish roots. And I say we, I was a part of that church, and they were efficient in getting rid of everything Jewish. And that's a mistake if they only read Romans 11. See, they made it so that everyone could become a Christian by force. And the other night, I happened to be listening to the History Channel, and I saw some of the Vikings and what they did. The Vikings invaded Europe, and they destroyed many, many cities, and they looted, and they did everything that you could possibly do as wild men would do. And I was angry at them, and the Lord said, don't. He said, I allowed them to ransack Europe to give Europe a chance to find me. Why? Because many Europeans had become Christians under the wrong spirit. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm trying to tell you, we learn from those who make mistakes if we're smart. And we don't condemn, but we pray for those that are still stuck, wherever they may be stuck. And that includes us. How much of us is still stuck? How much of me is still religious? How much of me is still in the control room rather than letting the Lord have his way? When we do get ready to celebrate the feasts, they're the feasts of God. He was the one that told the Israelites through Moses, wake up, guys. Get together with me 3 times a year at Passover, not Easter. Get together with me at Pentecost, the first fruits. It's also the first fruit of resurrection. Are you ready to resurrect? Are you ready to see what tabernacle will be? Are you living in this earth suit thinking it's forever? When you know darn well that it's a temporary booth. Amen? And tabernacles is the feast of booths. Did you hear me? Do you want this tabernacle to be your total focus? This tabernacle. This fleshy one. It's like saying, wait a minute. I am so important. I got to take care of this. I got to do this on my own. I got to do all these things on my own. Otherwise, God's not interested. That's phooey. The Holy Spirit will tell you what is of value to Him through the Word. You say, well, I haven't got time to read the Word. I would tell you, you better examine your heart. Because it's in the Word that you'll find the truth. Amen. Jesus is the Word with flesh on Him. Amen? 21. For God did not spare the natural branches because of their unbelief, or because of unbelief, neither will He spare you if you are guilty of the same offense. Verse 24, and if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, which is Adam, and against nature grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these natural branches back on the original parent stock of their own olive tree? Lest you be self-opinionated, wise in your own conceit, I do not want you to miss this hidden truth and mystery. Brethren, a hardening insensibility has temporarily befallen a part of Israel to last until the full number of the ingathering of the Gentiles has come in. To last, how long? Until the full number of the ingathering of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. That's the man of flesh. Isaiah 59. And this will be my covenant, my agreement with them, when I shall take away their sins. When I shall take away their sins. Jeremiah 31, 33. When I, it's not you that's taking away your own sins. Is that clear? Who's the I there? It's the Lord. He's prophesying. Jeremiah's seen Jesus take away sins. Have you seen Him take away yours? Or are you still worried about Him? It's also in Isaiah 27, 9. From the point of view of the gospel, good news, they, the Jews at present, are enemies of God, which is for your advantage and benefit. But from the point of view of God's choice, of election, of divine selection, they are still the beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gift and His call are irrevocable. Did you hear me? For the gifts and His call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them. When once they are given, He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace and to whom He sends His call. Just as you were once disobedient and rebellious towards God, but now have obtained His mercy through their disobedience, so they also now are being disobedient. When you are receiving mercy, that they in turn may one day share the mercy. through you as messengers of the gospel to them, which has been shown to you. Thus, through the mercy you are enjoying, they may now also receive the same mercy. For God has promised all men to disobedience, only that he may have mercy on them all alike. That's called love. I repeat 32 because it's very important. For God has consigned, in parentheses it says penned up or written down, all men to disobedience. So how many of you have got some disobedient ones out there doing their own thing? Put your hand up. Does God know about it?
Yeah.
Get over it. Get over it. The more you worry, the more you doubt, the more your unbelief will show. Did you hear the word unbelief? Who's going to see it? God will. Well, they're doing this wrong, and they're doing that wrong, and they're doing this wrong, and they're doing that wrong. Get over it. Does God see what they're doing? Is he in the control room? Is he able to turn them around?
Yes.
Did he get a hold of you when you were a little stupid?
Yeah.
Or maybe a lot stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where did he pick me up? For God has consigned all men to disobedience, only that he may have mercy on them all alike. Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unfathomable, inscrutable, unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions, and how untraceable, mysteriously undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, and his path. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And who has understood his thoughts? Or who has ever been his counselor? Isaiah 40, 13 and 14. Or who has first given God anything that he might be paid back? Or that he could claim a response or recompense? For from him and through him and in him are all things. For all things originate with him and come from him. All things live through him. All things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So when it's all about me and my unbelief, I am now in danger, aren't I? It's to be clipped quickly. And there are times that you may not be able to get rid of it quickly because your emotions get in the way. How many have a few problems with emotions? That's Adam. That's the wild olive branch. Okay? The wild olive tree. We need help.
Amen.
That's the message that I believe this is saying to each of us. We need his help. What's his Holy Spirit for?
Counselor,
helper, healer, recreator,
comforter,
and victor. Aha! Why would he convict us?
Of our righteousness.
Of our righteousness, yes.
Convicts us of our righteousness.
I want to give you a kind of an odd thing that God did this week. Got me up in the middle of the night. I was to pray. Some of you might be the recipient, and I'm not going to tell you who. But he gave me a scripture in Job. And of course, me and Job, you know, for a long time, you know, I felt like a brotherhood. I mean, how many of you have ever had brotherhood with Job? Okay? And after I read the word, and I'm not going to tell you what the word was because it's not important.
What was important is how God was on my case. He was trying to let me know why he blessed Job when he consistently spoke that he was righteous. Throughout his testimony, 40-something chapters, right? He's constantly saying, I am righteous before God. His buddies found everything wrong with him. I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
How many of you are righteous? Put your hand up. You're righteous by faith. How many friends would say, aha, look at the mistake she made today. Look at the mistake that one did today. Look at the mistake you are doing right now. How can you say you're righteous?
You're always being judged.
And you have to declare, I'm righteous because of what Jesus did for me. I'm righteous because God poured his blood over me and cleansed me of all my unrighteousness. And Job was looking ahead to the one that was coming to the cross to take away his righteousness. And that's why he won. And that's why he got a double blessing at the end. That's why he got another family. That's why everything that was hopeless became what? What did it become? It became grace. He got healed, he got delivered, and he got a new family. He got double for his trouble. And when you declare your righteousness, you will what?
Prosper.
You're going to get double for your trouble.
God calls that faith.
God calls it faith, exactly. God calls that faith. That is believing beyond your experience, beyond what you experience on your daily lifestyle. Because your daily lifestyle may stink in your own eyes. But God says, I've already provided his righteousness as a gift. You can't earn it. Check Romans 5. Read it until it goes into your head and into your heart. Study it until you become that new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a brand new creation. I'm not the old. Adam died when I bowed my knee to Jesus. When I went down into the water, who came out of resurrection? Jesus came out of resurrection in me. So many times we go by emotions. So many times we fail. And so much of our judgments against ourselves needs to stop. And we need to rejoice in the weaknesses we have. St. Paul says, I celebrate my weakness. Oh, I just hit a brick wall. Close your eyes right now. Say, can I celebrate my weaknesses?
With joy.
Knowing that Jesus took those weaknesses from me. He did it by faith. And I can receive righteousness by faith. It's up to my confession. It's got to my confession. If I confess that I am righteous, I will become righteous. He'll perform it in me according to the words that come out of my mouth. It's not my actions and reactions that make me holy. It's not do good, get good. To quote a young man from Singapore. It's not do bad, get bad. It's according to what you believe. Say, Father, today.
Father,
the unbelief that's still trying. To eradicate. My righteousness in God. That was paid for by Jesus. It stops today. Unbelief has to go. In Jesus' name. I renounce its works. And its fruits. And we begin a war today. I will live by faith. In Jesus' name. And that faith is mine.
And that faith mine.
As a gift from my Father.
As a gift from my Father.
Because of what Jesus did.
Because of what Jesus did.
On that tree for me. That's the good news for today.
That is the good news for today.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.